This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code CAST.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to episode 9 of Forecast. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Scott Johnson.
And we are still joined by Paul Saborin and Greg DiCostanzo.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome back. It's as if you never left.
I know. I missed it.
Funny how that works.
Don't forget, folks, to send us your predictions. Email forecastpodcast@gmail.com or post on forecastpodcast.com, and we will read some on the show. Last time, it was short-term predictions, and we learned how to stick USB sticks in our head, save our memories. We also learned that eventually there will be an Irish robot step dancing. Spectacular.
And,
quite soon. And Paul, you had,
yes,
yeah, I think you had the meatiest of the predictions last time.
Oh, the video phone as the default telecommunication.
I think I think that might end up being the thing.
Why? Thank you. That is kind of meaty, isn't it?
Yeah, we sunk our teeth into it anyway.
Yeah.
Time now for the long-term predictions. These are your longer-term sci-fi, weird, strange, turn-your-world-upside-down predictions. We're talking 50, 100 years, maybe even a little longer. It's going to take a while to get there. Not quite the crazy-ass predictions. That's next episode. But long-term predictions. Paul, let's start with you. What do you got?
Well, I was originally going to go with the something similar to Storm's enhanced consciousness that he talked about last time, with sort of the John Scalzi brain pal, attach a computer to the base of your brain kind of thing. But since we covered that, I am going to go with robot armies.
Robot armies.
Yes.
You
can't
lose with robot armies.
Let me elaborate further.
I mean, you'll only lose probably, but go ahead.
Well, not only are we going to replace our armed forces with robots, but we're going to replace them with old school, boxy, slow moving, antennae on the head, immobile facial features, like Robbie the Robot.
Oh, those are my favorite ones. I love those. That's what we all grew up with. Those are the best robots ever. I don't want them to kill each other. Be sad.
Right, it's more terrifying that way.
The human robotity.
Oh, the robotity. So no, yeah. So why? Explain a little why that style of robot.
Just because it'll be cooler. It'll be more dramatic because battles will take longer because they will lumber slowly across the field at each other. And the result is going to more or less be predefined anyway, based on the level of technology of the one side or the other is going to be better or worse. So they might as well at least make it an interesting fight, albeit one-sided.
It makes it easier to have spectators at your war then, too.
Exactly.
You know, they can get out of the way.
Yep. Yeah, I picture, you know, the future wars will basically be fought the same way that you play, like, that vibrating table football game, you know, where you set the little pieces up and then you hit the switch and the whole thing.
I always wanted that when I was a kid.
And, you know, they just sort of slowly move towards each other and then, you know, run into each other and do little patterns, and everybody ends up running back and forth across the crease that runs down the middle because your younger brother accidentally sat on it a couple of weeks ago.
I feel like I may have mentioned this before on Forecast, but I wanted that so badly as a kid, and I asked my parents for it, and something got lost in the translation, and they bought me a football game that was looked just like that, except it didn't have any moving pieces or football men in it.
So
one person would sit on one side and pick their play. The other person would sit on the other side and pick their play. And then you'd press a button and it would light up what would happen.
Oh,
like
suck.
10 yards. And then you'd just move a little like marker on the field.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Yeah.
It was a terrible gift. Yeah.
The worst version of that present ever.
Well, the chaos of the other one is what you—that's what you want. You want to not know, really know the outcome. You want to
exactly,
kinda, yeah, live by the seat of your pants.
And I always maintained that A, nobody ever bought that football game new. You always bought it at a yard sale. Like there was about 12 of them that just went from yard sale to yard sale,
from hand to hand.
Exactly. And then the other thing is nobody ever actually played that game, like, for more than maybe 5 minutes at a time, because it was just boring and unpredictable and ridiculous. So you'd always end up just – each of you would line up all 50 of your guys on each end and just run them towards each other and see if any of your guys made it to the far side at a certain point.
Which became a different – wasn't football anymore.
Yeah, it was much more like war, which brings us right back to my initial point that that's the way wars should be fought.
All right. I pictured all black and white.
Yeah.
I picture the whole thing, like CNN would go black and white during the war coverage, and the guy covering it would be, oh, the humanity, they've come across the thing with the blah, 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 and he'd be the total 40s guy. That's a future I can, that's warfare I like.
The Allied robots met stiff resistance.
Luckily, our Johnnies took over the German Tobors without much difficulty.
The Johnnies.
These wheels won't roll anymore.
Comic book.
Sorry about that, Tojo.
I see a biography here that could make this come true, right? It's a kid. He's comes into possession of one of the last of the 12 circulating football toys that are still in existence, is enamored with it, just for what you said, the, like, mm-hmm. Setting the people up to attack each other, and then one day becomes chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yep.
And says, gentlemen, I've had a dream for ages since a little boy of changing warfare. And there happens to be like a guy with exactly the same idea on the opposite side. They go to war, but they agree we're going to do it old school.
That's right.
And that's how it all comes together.
Yeah. President writes his blank check and off they go.
And perhaps they'll actually develop a, hundreds and thousands of kilometers large battlefield that will be a green and white grid.
And they'll sell tickets.
Yes.
That's how you fund the war.
Everybody
it's
wins.
Robots. It's robots. It's not peoples.
Yeah, people aren't in the robots, right? This is all, they're autonomous. No,
they're just robots.
I mean, they only know to move across the field, but they're not.
Haltingly.
They're not sentient. They don't, they're not going to feel pain.
No, that's the other reason they're going to be the boxy, old school robots, because they're so much cheaper to produce that way. Because who wants to spend, $4 billion on a robot that's just going to get zapped with a laser and explode 4 seconds into the war, right?
Well, make it a box.
Yeah, the bigger problem, though, is that in the middle of all this, and everyone will think, oh, this is hunky-dory. We got big, boxy robots. They're cheap to make. This is entertaining. We're commanding an army, blah, blah, blah. And then comes the Japanatron. Which would be a billion times better than all these boxy robots, and then it's back to square one.
Well, maybe should I change my prediction and make it into that's going to be the new sport?
Yeah, robot wars as the new sport, and used as a foreign policy method.
Used to settle disputes of all sorts.
Yeah, the United Nations says, okay, Iraq, Iran, let's just get this over with. Bring out your robots.
Yep.
Bring out your – we assume you have them. Bring out your robots.
And everybody has them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a sad country.
Certainly all the cool kids have them.
Tuvalu may not have them, but everybody else.
Yeah. It's where all the enriched uranium will go.
Uranium-powered boxy robots.
Indeed.
Hey, folks, sorry to interrupt, but as you may have noticed at the top of the show, we actually have a sponsor, which we didn't have when we were actually talking to Paul and Storm. So we got a break for just a bit. And tell you a little bit of the sponsor, and then we'll jump right back into the conversation. Scott?
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. Squarespace has this easy UI for creating and managing a website or blog, optimized for both beginners and CSS experts, hundreds of design templates to choose from. You can customize any of the designs to fit your needs. All-inclusive services including several modules to build your own website, blog module that includes importing and exporting, support for WordPress, Blogger, movable type and typepad, set up your own forum, photo galleries, form builders, collect email address and other information from your visitors, Google Maps, and more, website tracking and built-in engine optimizer, permission access handling, cloud architecture for speed and site stability, an innovative drag-and-drop Ajax interface. Use Squarespace for all your website needs. Build it, host it, and manage it. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com. No credit card needed. Just try it out and build your website. If you decide to purchase it, get 10% off the lifetime of your service with the code CAST.
Now, I cannot wait to hear from the voice of Storm where he sees our world in the in the long term, in the 50 to 100 years, the crazy sci-fi weird stuff. Not quite crazy ass, but just on the precipice of crazy ass. Where do you see it going?
All right. This may sound completely crazy ass, but I've thought this through.
That's next episode. Oh, wait.
I'm going with intelligent dogs.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
All right.
Have you read much Philip K. Dick?
I have.
Okay, good.
I have.
Carry on.
Okay. So this is going to come about because we're entering upon a golden age of genetic engineering where we're understanding more and more, but really a thimbleful of knowledge. And it's only a matter of time before someone really starts to fuck with things, you know? It's coming. It's coming. Laws or not, it's coming. And at first it's going to be, okay, we're just going to make it a kick-ass dog, you know, just like the awesome pet. And then it'll be, well, let's make it like that one in the commercial that can get a beer. You know, let's just make it smart enough for that, right? So you're still okay, and this is happening, you know, maybe there will be home genetics kits. Maybe it'll be in islands in the Pacific if it's still around. Don't know. But then at some point, it's either going to be an accident or someone will get really good at it and figure that this is the perfect underclass to develop these, you know, inexpensively loyal beings who can do things even better than fetching you a beer.
Like mow the lawn?
Mow the lawn, you know, paint the house, like everything, everything that robots may
the floor.
Not be suitable for. Yes.
Paint the fence.
Intelligent dogs will be painting fences.
So you're not talking about synthetic dogs. These are actual flesh and blood biologically engineered dogs.
Correct. There may be part human DNA, like to get the brain up to speed a little bit, but only like enough to get them to be able to, yes, wax the floor.
Not if they're, so smart if, that they understand what we've done to them.
Yeah, no, never. But if they're going to be, if they're waxing the floor and if they're mowing my lawn, they better be using my toilet.
Well,
you know that's got to be
100 years. They will use the toilet, but at a certain point, they'll have to use their own toilet. It's going to get ugly.
Because that's the part you're worried. I mean, that's the part you're really freaked out about. Is what comes next.
The Philip K. Dick part where they get a little, you know, too big for their trousers.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, that was the first thing I thought about is there's, I don't know, several novels from Philip K. Dick where intelligent dogs figure in. They're usually caused by nuclear fallout, like some
right.
kind of mutation or something. And they always get the better of the main character somehow. Maybe in a malicious way, maybe not. But they're always like kind of outsmarting them. And
yeah.
That's immediately where my brain went, which was the dog that starts to look at you and go, you know, you didn't always treat me well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wanted more food than you gave. And I'm holding it against you.
Now, this will be much, much more brought upon directly by our own stupidity.
Yeah, we'll mess with it, right?
Are they also going to be bred to have, say, opposable thumbs? Are we going to mess with them physically, or you're just talking about dogs as we know them, just smart and can talk and can do tasks?
They'll be more dog-like than people-like, I guess. If in order to mow the lawn, they need opposable thumbs, that you know that can happen. Sure.
Unless you get one of those like cool doggy harnesses for a lawnmower.
Yeah, you just modify it, right? That could work.
It just seems if we're able to apply super intelligence to our canine. Population, we should be able to genetically engineer in things like opposable thumbs or legs that bend the other way or other horrible things.
Yeah, cup holders.
Sure.
there's a whole avenue that can be explored. You know, there's the old saying that, you know, people tend to look like their pets. You could totally get your dog engineered to look just like you.
Yeah, you could have your genetics in your pet.
Holy crap.
Oh, now we're getting creepy.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm really torn about that possibility.
Bad
to have
dog.
Like, a dog to have Scott dog or
But would they? Would we engineer out things like my dog's tendency to chase a laser dot, for example, is just hilarious and ridiculous, and she never learns the lesson and always thinks it's something to go eat. Will we take that stuff out? Are we going to leave that in for our own sort of, all right, you've done my taxes, you've mowed my lawn, now chase the laser dot.
I think that should be like the fail safe. Like, you know, if there's, you know, if to prevent them actually taking over, if they become too sentient and decide that they're too good for us, you keep in that instinct to chase the laser dot so you can always distract them from their world domination plans.
Mm. I'm going to kill all cats. Oh, shiny. Like that.
Exactly.
Mm. All right.
Yet, I think in 100 years, our abilities won't be quite precise enough to be that exacting. So there will be quirks, some of them possibly fatal to us.
But, you know, just possibly.
Just possible. It's one possible future. Yes.
I'm seeing a chain of events here now where I think maybe it starts with, you know, your beloved pet passes away, and we already have this, like, hey, clone your dog, right?
Right.
And so it starts with, yeah, clone him, but can you get rid of that annoying thing where he chews on shoes? Just kind of pull that out. And then, right, eventually, you know, it's logical that you're like, hey, can you get it to where he can mow the lawn? And then, if we start putting in thumbs, here's my issue. If we start putting in thumbs, then suddenly it's like, oh, you know, they shed all over the place. Can we just make them hairless? And then, oh, you know what? It's hard for them to do certain things because they can't reach. Can we make them stand upright? And pretty much, then eventually, you just turn the dog into humans.
Well, but we won't be humans anymore.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that.
We'll become cat people.
We have lost our humanity,
and our servants will chase us.
Yeah. It's Planet of the Apes with dogs.
You did it.
Maniacs! Get your filthy paws off me, actually, is more appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't really ever apply to monkeys very well, but now...
You damn dirty dog.
That's a better ring to it.
It does. Get your filthy paws off me,
damn dirty dog.
Yeah. It's dog law! We're on to something. So the security guards are like bulldogs, and, you know, you can see the archetypes. The scientist guys will be like...
Jack Russell Terriers.
Yeah, Jack Russell Terriers, perfect.
Ooh, a little hyper for a scientist.
All the politicians will be Chihuahuas because they're all just, you know, they're hyper hair trigger and shivery and scared of everything.
An enlarged sense of self-importance.
Yep.
All our soldiers will be border collies.
Exactly.
Or at least immigration will be.
And the great lawgiver, Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah. That dog who can get beer on TV. That's where it all started.
Yeah, that's the mastiffs will be, you know, just like sitting at home on the couch drinking beer, watching TV.
Indeed.
Still slobbering. They couldn't fix that. I don't know why, but the mastiffs slobber everywhere.
I was going to say the mastiffs are sort of like Dallas Cowboy fans then.
Now, I know we have some Dallas Cowboy fans in the audience.
I just said that to be provocative.
So, he's right. That's what you're like.
But when dogs rule, no one will care. It'll be like the Dallas
It'll be the the Yukonuba event will be
the Yukonuba Bowl.
Yeah. So it's all robots anyway at this point. One is as same as another. So.
Will the dogs want to go watch the Robot Wars?
Oh yeah,
that's a good
dogs
question.
Love Robot Wars,
especially
lots
if we make
laser
the
sights.
If we make the robots shiny with laser sights, dogs can't help themselves.
Mine will go; she'll be there in a heartbeat.
Daisy will be in there. Where is it? Wow, anyway, the dog's running on the field.
It's a calamity, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, good. Anything else to add to the long-term predictions before we wrap this up?
No, that should cover it. Other than, of course, my Soylent Green prediction.
Oh, what is the Soylent Green prediction?
I think the world population will grow enough such that while I don't think that it'll be government-sponsored conversion of people into food, I think there will be an increased black market. Because while I have faith in man's innate goodness, I also have even purer faith in the black nature of a small enough population of man, mm-hmm. That I think a increasing black market will show up for people wishing to purchase human meat and people willing to sell their dead loved ones as human meat.
A little bit of the long pig.
Yes. Long pig bacon.
Oh, man. Gross. You know, just a little side trivia there. Soylent Green, the movie.
Yeah.
Was directed by Richard Fleischer, son of famed animator Max Fleischer. And he also directed Conan and the Barbarian and Red Sonja. Just throwing that out there. A little leakage from my Film Sack podcast. Yeah. Not to plug it, just saying.
Interesting.
Yeah, we just watched that. And that guy did a lot of crazy stuff. But when I heard he did Soylent Green, we put that on the list. I can't wait to see it again. It's so thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, great movie.
Sure. Happy to end things on a happy note.
Well, you know what else is true about Fleischer?
What's that?
He was made of people. Paul and Storm, thanks again for sitting down with us. We've got one more episode with you guys. You're not getting out of it this easy, but paulandstorm.com is the place to go. Tell people anywhere else where they can follow what you guys do.
On Twitter at Paul and Storm.
And don't forget the D.
Yes.
No Facebook? Got a little Facebook action?
We do. We have it, but I'd say we log in maybe once every 2 weeks.
Sounds like me.
So leave him a message once every 2 weeks.
Yes, right. And we will get it somehow.
And don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. That's F-O-U-R, cast podcast, forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Scott Johnson, we're done.
We're done. Thank you so much, Tom. I can't wait for the third episode. I felt like today was a little crazy ass anyway, so the next ones are just going to melt our brains. I can't wait.
Woo! We'll see you then.
But it's only 32 years away.